Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. This week, I will continue my discussion about the esoteric messiahs, esoteric evangelist, but talk about it from the standpoint of someone who's coming to grips with the grim reality that they are having alien abduction experiences, hyperdimensional interference, and throw in perhaps project person manipulation, MyLab experiences, MK experiences, etc. I always look at this from the standpoint of, what if I'm coming to grips with the fact that I'm having ET experiences, abductions, MyLab experiences right now, this instant? Where do I go? Who do I turn to for information? The problem, as I see it, a person this very moment coming to grips with the reality of these experiences in their own life will go online, because basically that's the default setting these days, go online and they will quickly walk into a minefield. They will walk into a miasma of confusion, of endless posturing, of grandiosity, of disinformation, of petty resentments, empire building, outright insanity. And a word about the use of the term esoteric. I used it last week, or at any rate, last commentary, in a pejorative sense, i.e. a negative connotation. Because when we normally think of esoteric, many of us will think of ancient Kemetian, i.e. Egyptian mysticism, cosmology, etc. When I used it the last time I did a commentary, it was meant to describe people who don't have anything meaningful or quantifiable or evidence-based to share. Everything is of some kind of alleged higher dimensional philosophy. Everything is given in this boastful, superior attitude, i.e., I'm right, everyone else is wrong, you take the information or you leave it, but if you don't accept it, then you're the one that's wrong, you're the one that's got the malfunction, you're the one that can't deal with the higher information that I'm providing to you. The information is often coached in those terms, not exactly in those terms, but that's the intent and that's the meaning behind it, because these esoteric evangelists, at the very outset, they're always going to try to attain the moral ascendancy over you. They will always try to attain the moral high ground, the superiority over you. This also applies to the outright disinformation artists who are not even good at their craft. They're the ones that will tell you, oh, aliens don't exist. Well, that's a theory based on an opinion. What's that got to do with the price of fish, when countless people who've had first-hand experiences with ETs know better, right? Or how about this one? Oh, nuclear weapons don't exist. Well, we've proved it. Well, where's your proof? They don't have proof. All they can do is try to big-shot you, big-time you, talk down to you, come at you with a superior attitude, and hope that you have the follower gene. Because these esoteric evangelists, on the one hand, and these phony disinformation artists on the other, they are trying to activate the follower gene within you. That's a key point to make. Some people are hopelessly imbued with the follower mentality. They have the follower gene, and it doesn't take much to get the follower gene activated. So when I mean esoteric, I mean it in a negative connotation, not in the true sense of the word. I want to make that clear. And I use the negative connotation only in this context, in this particular discussion, whether I'm talking about the disinfo specialists who are not even very good at what they do, or the esoteric messiahs, esoteric evangelists. Dean pointed out something to me which was very important. He said that these people come up with all these good-sounding messages, but they don't really help anything. Note that he used the term anything, not anyone. It's not that they just don't help anyone with their message, but they don't really help in any way whatsoever. What they do is add to the noise-to-signal ratio. You always hear about the signal to noise ratio, the signal getting through amidst the clutter, amidst the atmospherics, amidst the intentional jamming, radar or frequency jamming, right? But I'm talking about the noise to signal ratio. A lot of these esoteric messiah types, they exist to increase the noise to signal ratio. And notice how they always speak in absolutes. They like to act the part of the contrarian. And usually they'll have one or two little niche items they like to talk endlessly about. But really, that gives them an entry point to bring in all this other garbage, all this other nonsense, all this other disinformation. And they speak in absolutes. I'm right, everybody else is wrong. We have the proof that nukes don't exist, but they don't provide you the proof that nukes don't exist. They say that, oh, this heavenly body or that heavenly body has this purpose or that purpose, but it's nothing quantifiable, nothing you can sink your teeth into, but they speak in absolutist sense, as if they're the final authority on the subject. In the process, the noise to signal ratio increases. I'm going to go back to basics now. Years and years ago, I used to frequently talk in my interviews and my lectures, private discussions with people, not in a messianic sense, mind you, but just in normal give and take, two-way, three-way conversations. And I used to always talk, and I'm going to start talking once again about ego activation. Ego activation, the fact that so many of these disinfo types, so many of these fantasy prone individuals, because there's a lot of that in the field, folks, there are people that are regarded as being credible, as being truth tellers, that are being described as spiritual warriors, and they're fantasists. I'm telling you straight up, they are fantasy prone individuals that make stuff up on the fly. And I've been around fantasy prone individuals. I've been around pathological liars. There's a vibe to them. There's a certain way they talk. They have certain body language. They have certain facial expressions. There's a boastfulness and arrogance and a self-assuredness about them. They make up lies on the fly. They lie about things that aren't even worth lying about. Let me give you an example. One of my cousins came by the house, when I was living with my folks when I was a boy, and I was all proud of my new fishing pole, right? And my older cousin comes along, he's on my mom's side, and this guy is a braggart. I mean, big time braggart, older than me. And he goes, "Oh, that's not a good fishing pole. With your fishing pole, I can only cast out to about 150 yards." And I'm just rolling my eyes, right? I mean, you can use my fishing pole to throw a cast 150 yards. Even as a young boy, I knew that was bovine scatology. BS, right? Then he goes on to say, "With my fishing pole, I can throw out a cast of 300 yards." So he's basically saying he can throw a cast the length of a football field. Yeah, sure, Francis, if you say so. I believe you. Right? White face, black heart, the nodding. Yeah, sure. If you say so. And I've known a number of people in my extended family. I've worked with pathological liars. I've known pathological liars. They give off a certain vibe, and their lies don't even have to add up. They tell you ridiculous things that anyone with any self-worth who's done the research, who's had enough life experience, will know these people are full of it, right? So that's another thing to keep in mind, that their lies don't even have to make sense. It's gotten to the point now where I think that these disinfo types, these, oh, we've never gotten out of low Earth orbit, satellites don't exist, the moon is right above your house, it's not that far, the sun is a lot closer than you think it is. It's inside the atmosphere. That's a form of gaslighting. Those people that say these things fit a psychological profile, and I've said again and again and again, psychology follows neurology, which follows genetics. Psychology, neurology, genetics. And the genetics open the way for certain soul manifestations, soul expressions, usually when ego is activated, of a negative parasitical entity. Reptilian, Draco, Mantis, all these other negative types of entities. Oftentimes reptilian, because this is a reptilian sphere of influence. So when you encounter ego activation in these speakers, in these lectures, in these authors, you're dealing with a person who fits a particular psychological profile, psychology, neurology, genetics, and often is not, especially in our field, often is not when you're dealing with an ego-driven person, you're dealing with an entity-infested person. Entity-infested, entity-attached, host for one or more entities. And like I said, their lies don't even have to hold up. Their lies don't even have to make sense. It's a form of gaslighting. It's questionable whether they even believe these lies themselves. But they know if they just repeat it with an authoritative air, they know that if they do it enough times, it's a numbers game, the follower gene is going to activate within certain people. And that's what keeps these people in the game. Also, it doesn't hurt that YouTube drives up their views. It doesn't hurt that you have all these shills and sock puppets pushing their information or disinformation, as it were. It doesn't hurt that there's a lot of gullible, dangerously naive people who buy into all this information. That's a red flag. Ego activation. How many people in the field have an active ego? The fantasy-prone individual, the boastful individual, the pathological liar, all of that is part of the, essentially the part of the same psychological, neurological, genetic, spiritual profile. Man, the stories that I've heard from some of these people, it'd make your head spin. I mean, I just hear stories, whether it's claiming that family members have access to all kinds of information about, you know, crash flying saucers, NSA-related information. It's just drivel and nonsense. These people talk with an authoritative air, and they may have a mesmerizing aspect to them, where they hypnotically repeat things and say things in a way that activates this follower gene. But their boastful tales don't add up. Anyone with an understanding of intelligence, counterintelligence, security, compartmentalization, access limited strictly to those with a need to know, they will know that very rarely will you have people that have access to all this information. They have to be truly, truly plugged in. Likewise, when people are claiming information from a higher dimensional source, and usually they pepper their dialogue with, you have to go within, the answers are within, it's within you, right? Kind of speaking in metaphysical riddles a lot of times. They take something that has an essential core kernel of truth, and then they twist it and spin it all around in a boastful, egotistical way. Another red flag is, and stop me if you've heard this before or seen this before, do they spend an awful lot of time explaining essentially simple things? Do they spend a lot of time, a lot of excess verbiage, a lot of endless natter about things that are essentially simple to comprehend? But what they do is they seek to mystify whatever subject they're talking about. They often will utilize certain terms, create a jargon, and then admonish you when you use certain terms in your own vocabulary. Oh, you can't say it that way. You can't use that term that way. You're invoking all these weird soul agreements, right? You have to talk like this. That's very religious. That's very cult-like. And that's what these people are all about. Candy Turner used to have this saying, 20 words or less. When she'd be confronted with some self-indulgent, self-important dweeb, either before or after a lecture, and they'd just start talking to her yak, not making any sense, Candy Turner used to say, 20 words or less. 20 words or less. In other words, get to the point. What are you trying to say? Remember what they used to teach us in math in the old days. I don't know if they teach it nowadays because of Common Core and everything. But in the old days, when it came to math, simplify, simplify, simplify. That's why in the military they call it a briefing. Brief, concise, succinct, to the point. Not many people realize it, but the military send people off for public speaking courses and how to learn how to give presentations because they're expected to give briefings. Briefings, as in brief, concise, succinct, to the point. 20 words or less, 20 words or less. And with no confusion, with no unnecessary verbiage, straight and to the point. Lives may be hanging in the balance, 20 words or less. And all these people are not going to be sitting there while the briefer is waxing eloquently about the 9th, 10th, 12th dimensions. Because I said at the outset, imagine someone trying to come to grips with all of this stuff, all these abduction experiences, all these missing time experiences. Their family is affected, their health is affected, their job is affected. What good does it do for that person to sit at someone's lecture or to watch a interview or listen to a podcast and the speakers are droning endlessly about, well, if you just recombine your 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th DNA strands, you'll be able to make these negative experiences stop. How does that help somebody? And how exactly do you do that again? How exactly do you recombine your 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th DNA strands inclusive? Just exactly how do you do that? Is there a YouTube tutorial? Is there a PDF link you can send me? How again did you shut off your chakras? How again did you do that? Do you have like a link to the website? Do you have Curlian photography that shows that you've recombined all your DNA strands? Do you have Curlian photography that shows that you've shut off your chakras? Oh yeah, and you say that Marduk and Ninurta and Ereshkigal are your first cousins? Did you find this out on like Ancestry.com or something? And that's the thing. We're just supposed to accept it on their authority. Likewise, if the person is looking for answers because they're going through all this hardcore stuff, how does tuning into a discussion about the Yellow Lantern Hexagonal Alliance going to help them? It's not. Noise to signal ratio, yet again. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Engendering confusion is a psychological warfare technique. Engendering confusion in an individual or in a society is a psyop. It's a psychological warfare operation. The last thing the controllers of this world want are all these people with these hardcore experiences, my lab experiences, alien abduction experiences, to start to make sense of what they're going through. And even worse, from the standpoint of the controllers and this matrix control system, start to heal and reintegrate and turn the tables so they become not just a latent threat, but a real and present danger to the controllers of this world. So I stress, let's go back to the basics. Do these speakers have an activated ego? Are they coming from a place of boastfulness, of grandiosity, of endless posturing, of a know-it-all mentality, a contrarian mentality? Do they make relatively simple concepts unnecessarily complex and difficult to comprehend? Do they have a lot of non-meat filler in their interviews, in their podcast, in their lectures? unless I'm giving a lecture for someone else, my lectures are usually 3.5 hours plus, with a short break, about 15, 20 minutes. I try to make the breaks no more than 20 minutes, so I'm back into it. 3.5 hours plus, 3 hours and 40 minutes. And the people in the audience can see my bullet points. Point, 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 point. Major topics, subtopics, transitions, major topics, subtopics, transitions. And the people in the audience can follow along. Oh, Bartley's talking about this, now he's going to talk about that next, then he's going to talk about that. Whereas when you attend a lecture from some of these people that I'm talking about, these esoteric evangelicals or esoteric messiahs, there's a lot of non-meat filler, a lot of metaphysical pablum, a lot of speaking in metaphysical riddles, and some of them will also throw in to confuse the audience and also to also activate that follower gene I was talking about. They'll throw in at times a healthy dose of, I'm against the New World Order. I'm against any form of authoritarianism. I'm against any form of control. I'm for sovereignty. I'm for sovereign rights. They know all the buzzwords. They know all the catchphrases. They know how to present things in a very catchy way when they want to. They can be very simple when they want to. That's an important point to make. So they will give off the impression of someone who is against any form of control, any form of manipulation, any form of tyranny. But really, they're just there spewing out all this non-meat filler. It's very difficult to sit through their lectures because they meander a lot. They fly off on a number of different tangents. I've sat through some truly horrific lectures in my time. And having taken public speaking courses, I know what to look for in a lecture. What are the main points? What are the subtopics? Etc., etc. And it's just horrific what I've been exposed to as far as lectures are concerned. One of the things that they try to impress upon you is the fact that you are incomplete, that you are somehow less than, that you are in need of healing, and they're just the people to want to heal you. And sometimes when you do a session with these people, you know, they charge for a session, and you have a session, and, well, I did this energy work with you, that energy work with you, this energy work with you. I got rid of X number of entities, got rid of X number of energetic cords, attachments, etc., etc., etc. Again, throwing out the jargon, throwing out the lingo. I'm healing you. I'm against all this tyranny. I'm against all these forms of control. Again, nothing quantifiable, nothing you can sink your teeth into. And then what they'll do is, but you know what? You still have a lot of work to do. So when you're on your own, you'll still have to work very hard to keep your energy field clean, right? It's almost like a clause or a rider in a contract, or, you know, like a disclaimer. Basically telling you that, well, you're on your own now, pal. You know, I did what I can do. I kind of moved your energy fields around. And if you're lucky, the person is just a charlatan. If you're unlucky, the person is an entity-infested, adept, warlock, raging Draco hybrid host. Because then, if they really want to get mean-spirited, they can infuse all kinds of entities into you, all kinds of energetic blocks, all kinds of energetic shunts. In fact, the very things they claim they're taking out of you, they will be putting into you, okay? This is what's going on in the field, folks. I'm not trying to make light out of it. I've seen it happen again and again and again. So that's another red flag. How much non-meat filler is in their presentations? Do they give you bullet points where they're talking about meaningful things? Or is it just endless conjecture, endless speculation, endless big noting of themselves, endless big timing of you, big shotting of you, the audience, the listener, the consultee? What is it? Because if they don't get down to brass tacks, remember what Candy Turner said? 20 words or less, 20 words or less. I can hear her, hear those words ringing in my ears. Do they get to the point? Are they briefing you in concise, succinct terms? Are they getting to the heart of the matter? That's a key point to understand. Because when people exhibit all these warning signs that I've just told you about thus far, then you begin to realize this person's a fraud. I don't care how much they say they're fighting against the Draco overlords or the Orion group or the New World Order or the Illuminati or the Cabal. If they're just waxing eloquently about esoterica that you cannot sink your teeth into, that does not provide material, viable help to you right at that moment, you're wasting your time. They're there to add to the noise-to-signal ratio. I keep repeating and going back to certain key themes. Ego activation. Get back to the basics. Are you dealing with someone with an active ego, with an activated ego? Because if you are, chances are that person's energy infested. Let's cut down to the chase. Let's get right down to brass tacks. You're dealing with an energy infested person. Is that person grandiose? Well, if they're grandiose, if they're full of themselves, full of self-importance and self-indulgent, if you're watching them and they're in a panel discussion and they're doing all the talking, or in a webinar situation and they're doing all the talking, if you're in a private setting with them, just you and maybe two, three, few other people, and they're doing all the talking, you're dealing with one of these esoteric evangelists, one of these esoteric messiahs. Is this person a good listener? Let me tell you about the benefits that can accrue to you if you're a good listener, how your knowledge base and your wisdom can increase just by being a good listener. When I interview somebody, it's a debriefing. I'm trying to extract as much information out of these people. I leave it up to the listeners to decide whether it's valid, invalid, if it's something they can make use or sense of at the moment, or if it's something they can put on the shelf, maybe use later, maybe not, right? And I do the best I can. Sometimes we've had some duds, I'll tell you straight up. Other times we've had some outstanding interviews. And in the relatively short period of time, the Cosmic Switchboard has been in operation, we've had some great interviews and I think some very good commentaries, and going forward, we're only going to get better. Of that, I can assure you. Back in my college days, I took a lot of history classes because history is one of my favorite subjects. And unfortunately, when you take upper division history courses, what happens is virtually everyone, or at least some annoying people, think they know everything about that aspect of history. And it's very subjective. It's not like a math problem or a math equation. There can only be one answer, right? For every, you know, other person, there's that many more different ideas and different concepts of a particular historical event or series of events. And often as not, when you go to these history classes, there's these self-indulgent, self-important people that take up a lot of class time talking endlessly about this, that, or the other aspect of history, showing off their knowledge, right? And me, all I want to do is go in there, get my ticket punched, put in my 50 minutes, whatever, sit there, take my notes, get out of there. That's all I wanted to do. But there was a lot of people in these history classes that would sit there and just yak, 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 nonstop. And unless the teacher had self-worth and kept a firm grip on the reins of the class can rapidly degenerate into just a pajama party where a number of people are talking at the same time and is just a miserable experience, right? And that's what would happen at some of these history classes and upper division history classes in state and university level college courses. And again, all I wanted to do was put in my time, the 15 minutes, whatever, leave, and, you know, go on with my day. But these self-indulgent people, they just had to have their way. They just had to be self-indulgent and talk and talk and talk. Well, during the course of some of these upper division history class fiascos, I met some interesting people. For example, in one class I had that was full of all these know-it-all, know-nothing types, there was an elderly Japanese-American guy, and there was an elderly Caucasian man, and they were both World War II veterans. The Japanese-American was being groomed to be a translator to work with one of these behind-the-lines units in Burma. He was never deployed because the war was over before he could be sent out, but that's what he was being trained for. And the elderly Caucasian guy was a sailor. He was a Navy guy who was on board the USS Chicago when it was heavily damaged during the Battle of Savo Island. That was a horrific defeat for the American and Australian Navy at the very outset of the Guadalcanal campaign. Four heavy cruisers, three U.S. heavy cruisers, one Australian heavy cruiser, were sunk by the Japanese in a night service engagement. The USS Chicago was heavily damaged. This elderly Caucasian guy was on the ship that night during the Battle of Savo Island. Later on, he took part as a sailor in the Normandy invasion, right? And what was interesting was when these guys would try to make a point or say something in class, they were quickly shouted down by the younger know-it-all, know-nothings. Now, during lunchtime or during a break in between classes, who do you think that I, James Bartley, spent my time with in the cafeteria? Do you think I sat there and listened to these young know-it-all, know-nothings? Or do you think I sat there with these older guys? The old Japanese-American guy who was being trained to work in one of these behind-the-lines units as an interpreter, and this older gentleman who was with the U.S. Navy on the USS Chicago during the Battle of Savo Island. Well, of course, I'm going to spend my time with them. And if you had seen me, if you'd been a fly on the wall in the cafeteria with these two older gentlemen, I assure you, you would not have seen me flapping my gums. I would have sat there and listened. I would have sat there as the humble supplicant. Fill me with your knowledge. You guys are the ones that had the experiences. You were there during these historical events, which I only read about. I am an empty vessel. Fill me with your knowledge. And baby, my cup runneth over. I learned an awful lot from these guys. And the ironic thing was, these know-it-all, know-nothings, if they just had taken the time to see what these two old guys were all about, they might have heard something too. But you know what? Probably not, because they wouldn't shut up. Because they're too busy flapping their gums, trying to impress everybody with what they know or what they think they know about history. And I'm sitting there in the back of the class with these two guys that made history. And there was another older gentleman I hung out with, old English guy. You see, a lot of these older gentlemen and, you know, older ladies, when they're retired and, they got nothing better to do, a lot of times they go back to a collegiate atmosphere, a collegiate environment, because it gives them something to do. They get around younger people, they go to classes, you know, they get back into the college thing. And I met this older English gentleman. He served in the British Army in Kenya. He was there during the so-called Mau Mau Rebellion, also known as the Gikuyu Rebellion. After his service there, he lived in Durban in South Africa. Very interesting guy. Had a lot of discussions with him. And again, I wasn't the one flapping my gums. I would ask a thoughtful, what I consider to be a thoughtful, meaningful question, and then back off and let this older gentleman, this old English guy, fill me with all his wisdom. And there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is knowledge based on personal experience, whereas knowledge is very subjective. I mean, I think about the know-it-all, know-nothings who wouldn't shut up in the history classes, or the idiots that used to always disrupt the UFO lectures in San Diego. Someone always had to pipe up and just stall out and gobble up about 15 minutes of time, which, you know, the lecturer could have used, right? Non-meat filler. Just giving vent to one's own self-indulgence, own sense of self-importance. They just have to grandstand, let everyone see just how smart they think they are. So when I'm around these people, I'm not the one that does the talking. I'm sitting there, the humble supplicant, fill me with your wisdom. I'm there, the empty vessel. I'm there with a teachable spirit. Because what I hold in the palm of my hand is what I know. The rest of this room, that's what I don't know. And I understand that. And I think about these people in the UFO, it's not even really the UFO field anymore. That's another thing about it. Back in my day, and see, I don't see much of a transition. I don't see many people that are going to be handed the baton, the next generation, if you will. I was part of that next generation. I came after some of the greats in the field, living legends at the time, and legends to this day. Even ones who've passed on, Barbara Bartholik, Dr. Carla Turner, were greats in the field, and I learned so much from them. But I had a teachable spirit, and I combined what I learned from them with what I learned personally, through personal experience and through study, and networking with other people who've had experiences, not these armchair MUFON types who are running around with their slide rule and the metal spoon in their pocket, hoping to scoop up that elusive landing trace, soil sample, right? I'm talking about real experiences that people have gone through. And I was part of that transition. The baton was passed to me, and I took it and I ran with it. I look out into the field today, and a lot of these people that are these blowhards, these know-it-all, know-nothing, esoteric messiah types, they can't even hold a conversation with you. Well, that's even presupposing they can stifle themselves long enough to even listen. But let's say for the sake of argument, they actually stifle themselves and listen for a change. They wouldn't be able to comment knowledgeably about some of the key milestone events in the history of ET and UFO history, the UFO lore. They couldn't tell you what the Cash Landrum incident was. They couldn't tell you about the Army Reserve helicopter incident over Ohio in 1973, which involved the UFO. They don't know any of the basics of the field. And yet they dive right in, and without any historical understanding, they presume to tell you and I how to deal with aliens, how to deal with interdimensionals, how to heal oneself. Healing comes from within. Some of these medicine men, medicine women, shamans, I'm talking about the real ones, not these frauds. They can show you the way. They can guide you to plant medicine that can heal you physically, spiritually. They can do certain types of work on you, energetic and otherwise, that will get you pointed in the right direction, but you're going to have to do the rest of it yourself. What keeps a lot of these frauds in the game is the gullibility of so many people and their inability to detect and discern BS when it's in their presence. Kylie has a saying, and I love it. She says, 2018 is the year of no more bullshit. And that's a creed that I live by. 2018 is the year of no more BS, bovine scatology, bullshite. We need to get back to the basics. And I think, what if we had a scenario where some of the greats were brought back out of time or plucked out from the ether and remanifested in their full real glory and put in the presence of some of these esoteric messiahs? I'm talking about Barbara Bartholik, Leonard Stringfield, Dr. Carla Turner, some of the greats in the field, Dr. Oliver Fontes from Brazil. And you put them in the same room with these know-it-all, know-nothing, esoteric messiah types. You know what? Some of those greats, in fact, all of them, would not even get a word in edgewise. They wouldn't even get a chance to say, boo. Because these esoteric messiahs would just keep flapping their gums, presuming to know more. Oh, what do you know, Carla Turner? I never even heard of you. What do you know, Barbara Bartholik? Who are you, old lady? That's what these people would be like. They're in the presence of greatness, but they don't even know that in our hypothetical scenario because they're just so full of themselves. This sense of self-importance, this grandiosity, the endless posturing. You listen to some of these people who fancy themselves to be esoteric energy healers. They fancy themselves to have the ability to banish demons and eject entities out of people. You listen to their stories. It's like, well, gee, where did I hear that or see that before? Oh, yeah, that movie Constantine, where Keanu Reeves is a demon fighter, and he's just sending all these demons packing, kicking their ass. Good movie, by the way. And you listen to some of these people, it's like, wow, you know, they should have been in that movie. It should have starred them instead of Keanu Reeves to listen to these people, such is the nature and the extent of their grandiosity. But so many people, they don't have that BS meter. They've got the follower gene activated. And so the reason that I talked last week or the last commentary about these esoteric messiahs and the reason why I continued that discussion today is because I don't want to see these people who are just coming to grips with the true nature of their experiences. I don't want them to be stalled out, misinformed, disinformed, have their time wasted by these frauds in the field that, you know, claim all these holier-than-thou type of lineages. Oh, yeah, Ninurta was my nephew. Marduk, he was my paper boy. Yeah, I ordered him around, and he brought me coffee and biscuits in the morning. When you listen to the grandiosity of some of these people, it's just breathtaking that people would even give them the time of day. So I encourage all the listeners out there, be very discerning. Make 2018 your year of no more BS. That's our motto over here at the Switch, the Cosmic Switchboard. 2018 is the year of no more BS. And take that message to heart. And I'm glad that some of these frauds are finally being exposed all across the board, not just in the UFO, metaphysical, so-called truth community field, but all across the board. It's the truth vibes that are kicking in. And these phonies and these frauds, give them enough rope to hang themselves with, they're going to do exactly that. They're going to paint such an unbelievable, stupid lie. Someone's finally going to call them out on it. And they're just going to be like stuck like a fly in a piece of paper, okay? So anyhow, it was on my heart to bring up these subjects because I'm tired of all these people that really need real information being led astray by all these frauds in the field. And it's not even, they're not even really in the field, folks. They don't know nothing about the UFO history. They know nothing about the key events of the UFO field. They really don't know much about aliens, ETs, UFOs, interdimensional, hyperdimensional interference, except what they parasitically stole from others or what they found on the internet. Because these people are not readers. They're not going to take the time. They can't be bothered with doing all the necessary research, the necessary reading and the study to get to this level of understanding that we need to be at to understand all this. And I understand that, you know, a lot of people out there don't have the time to read all these books. That's fine. That's what I'm here for. That's what my colleagues are here for. That's why I put people like Tom Carey on the Cosmic Switchboard, a former Air Force intelligence officer who was one of the lead investigators for Roswell, knows as much about Roswell as anybody, right? I'm going to have Jim Goodall on the show. That's a fantastic interview. Wait till you hear that. Gary Heseltine, is going to be on the show. And he knows a lot about Rendlesham Forest. He knows a lot about the UFO scene in England. So we're giving you stuff that you can sink your teeth into, information that's quantifiable, the information that has resonance and meaning. It's just not esoteric, endless philosophizing, endless conjecture, endless speculation in the guise of truth, okay? Anyhow, you've been listening to Bartley's commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, have a very pleasant time, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now.